The manufacturing world is facing a massive shortage in semiconductors, and the Russia-Ukraine conflict is only making it worse. Ukraine is the biggest producer of a chemical element known as neon, which is used to construct semiconductor chips. These chips are an essential component of electronic devices. Even your car or mobile phone cannot operate without them. Supply issues are becoming so bad that Australian car companies are having to delay their new models by up to 12 months. Sarah Hunter is a senior economist and partner at KPMG, and Andrew Herlinger asked her to explain the control Ukraine and Russia have over semiconductor production.
Yeah, well, so estimates are that around about half of global production is from Ukraine, and so that's clearly very challenging for the sector, for chip producers to get hold of this as an input, given the conflict that's currently ongoing. It's not that production has ground to a halt completely, but it's clearly being disrupted. And so as chip producers work their way through their inventory of neon, there is a risk, clearly, of delays and falls in chip production levels because they can't get hold of this essential input.
Well, what effects have the global shortages in microchips or semiconductors had on various manufacturers?
So this is the latest in quite a long line of disruption in chip production globally after the last couple of years. At the start of the pandemic, it was challenged by lockdowns and other supply chain issues, and we've had waves of lockdowns since then, particularly across Asia, where most of these products are made. Generally, production had been recovering towards the back end of last year, and it had gone above pre-COVID levels, but it was still lagging behind demand. And what that's meant for global producers of many, many products, from televisions to fridges to all the way through to cars and other high-tech machinery and equipment, there have been delays in the production of these products. They all need chips as an input into them, and so if they can't keep up, the chip producers can't keep up with demand, then that's created backlogs through the global supply chain for all of these products.
There have been some reports of these chip manufacturers stocking up on neon ahead of the conflict. Was this a wise decision, and how positive or negative would their long-term outlook be?
I mean, certainly in terms of risk management, if you know that you've got an essential input like neon that's coming from a potential conflict zone, then stocking up on it ahead of time is a very good idea, and hopefully that will mitigate some of the fallout from the conflict that in Ukraine at the moment. In terms of the long-run outlook for chip production and for supply chains more broadly, it's going to take time for them to normalize. I think it's worth keeping in mind that on top of the production challenges that manufacturers have had over the last 2 years, we've also had a significant increase in demand for many manufactured products as spending has shifted away from services, which we weren't able to consume in the same way as before COVID, towards goods, so electronics, cars, all types of products that households purchase. And so you've got supply is impaired and you've got really strong demand. That means the gap between the two has opened up and is still quite significant. Manufacturers at the moment are flagging that if there are no further significant disruptions and delays through the global economy, and that does include what might happen around Ukraine, then hopefully over the next year, conditions will start to normalize. And we may well see demand start to move back towards what we might think of as more normal or at least pre-COVID levels.
Given in Australia, we've seen Australian car companies themselves have to delay newer models by up to 12 months. Having a bigger shortage in microchips and semiconductors, that's going to be quite disastrous for some parties and countries.
Well, yeah, people are going to have to wait for the delivery of their new vehicles. And it's worth probably noting that car production is particularly exposed to these supply chain linkages because the supply chain for cars is so complex. They're very complicated machines and they draw and use inputs from many different parts of the world. And so it only takes disruption in one part of the world to cause problems. So the car sector globally has sort of faced one challenge after another over the last couple of years, and supply there really has actually fallen back quite significantly on pre-COVID levels, despite that strength in demand.
Well, where exactly is the demand in chip producers at its strongest at the moment?
Yeah, well, so, I mean, chip demand generally has been strong across the board, but when we talk about microchips, it's probably worth keeping in mind that there are different types of chips. They're not just a single product. They have different technologies and different uses, of course, given the wide variety of goods that make use of them. And so what we saw happening at the start of the pandemic was that the chip producers switched into producing chips that are used in electronics. and high-tech electronics in particular, computers, phones, these types of products that were in very high demand, people getting gearing up for working from home and that sort of thing. And as a result of that switch, they started to reduce production in their older technology chips that are particularly used in cars. And so this specific switch then reinforced the challenge for the car sector particularly. As we're moving forward now, we're not seeing the same kind of growth in demand for electronics, but certainly the amount of demand hasn't fallen back to pre-COVID levels. So generally speaking, globally, there is still very strong demand for chips at a much higher level than it was pre-COVID, and it will take time for the sector to catch up. And of the different types of chips that are made, the ones that are used in cars are particularly lagging behind.
Sarah Hunter, senior economist and partner at KPMG, speaking there with Andrew Hellinger.